Right, you ready, JB?
Yes.
Phil, you on board?
I'm on board.
Just before we start, actually, boys, I'm sorry. It was my round on the baked cakes for the quiz later.
I don't like this music, Tim. What are you trying to tell us? What's happened, Tim?
Let's be open and upfront at the very start. I don't have any baked goods. We're recording this podcast a day later because you boys wanted to go out drinking.
We did.
Yesterday,
did that successfully.
Yesterday, I had some baked products all ready to go, and I left them at home before I came here. I can only apologise. And I know that, as well as rugby, that cakes is the other big talking point that we have on this podcast. And I'm sorry to anyone else who's disappointed by the lack of cakes on today's podcast. This is only going to be about rugby. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Well, there we go then. A weekend of European rugby. So much to talk about. There's been rants, there's been fights, there's been bad tackles, there's been odd articles in the paper, and there's been tons of top rugby on the field as well. And we're going to be talking about that today. And we want your input as well. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. That's where we tweet and share our thoughts and have conversations in between now and the next podcast. But right now, you are listening to the very latest one with me, Tim, with JB.
Good day, Tim.
And with Phil.
Hi, Tim.
How would you describe JB's get-up tonight, Phil?
God. All right, it's tough to... It's all rugby gear. He looks like he's just come off the training pitches, to be honest.
You look like someone who's lost about 7 or 8 stone and hasn't bought any new clothes.
Some big,
I
big
think
clothes.
I look a little bit chavvy today. So I was driving my car in, and the guy at the top class security operation, which we have out the front, asked me to wind down my window, got my black hoodie up. But I was listening to Margaret Thatcher's spoken word CD. He was so conflicted.
Oh, dear.
Right. So much to talk about. I actually don't know where to start. I'm going to suggest that we just go through some of the big games of the weekend and the talking points. There's loads of them. Will come just out of that. So where do you want to start?
Bath. Friday night, yeah.
Friday night, Bath game.
Bath.
Yeah.
In the quagmire.
So does this mean Bath are back in it now?
Well, officially...
What was the bonus point win?
They missed the bonus point.
But mathematically, they were never out of it. And mathematically, they're obviously still in it. If they win 3 from 3, they'll be right up there.
Their campaign's definitely back on track. Now, before we're going to talk about Sam Burgess at some point. But before we do that, can I just put another name in the hat that I think had a really, really strong game and arguably putting himself in contention if this is the form he carries on with, Henry Thomas.
Agreed. Mm.
Destroyed Montpellier. And she's no mean feat.
Nope. Yeah, the last few games I've seen him play, because he's been playing well.
They started Autorak as well.
Yeah.
So very promising if you're in the Bath coaching team, because you've got two youngish. Well, Henry Thomas, a young prop, what did you say?
Yeah, 23.
Yeah.
Henry Thomas is 23.
23.
He looks a little older
than
that.
I thought he was like 27 or something.
No, 23. No.
Oh, well, happy days.
I can tell you, having watched him since he was 18-year-old. 18 or 19-year-old at Sale when he made his debut. I watched his debut and I've watched him pretty much every game he played for Sale. He is a modern-day prop.
Feels like he's been around for a long time.
His scrummaging went away a little bit last season, was a bit iffy. But if he can scrummage and pulverise in the way he did in the scrummage, and let's not forget he took apart Quinns last week.
Yeah,
he's a ball player that we do not have in the front row.
And again, that was the same front row as this week, was it not?
With Autorak.
By the way, Ross looks like an Aberdeen Angus cow. Same build, same hair.
That is a fact.
Big old boy.
Incredible.
He's got amazing muscular quads on him. Yeah. Fantastic.
Good
quads.
Beef stock.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Another point from that game before we get onto Burgess, Proposition B, George Ford can play in the rain now.
I know. Amazing.
Wow.
It was wet. It was slippy. Didn't have a problem.
Yeah.
Did miss a few kicks, though, I think.
Missed a couple, but kicking was still good. He still got 15, 16
How was that not the lead story on The New Scientist? Why is it all about Ebola and space missions?
Large Hadron Collider.
Why is it not about George Ford can play in rain?
Yeah, amazing. I don't know what they've done. I've never seen it.
Played really well, didn't he? Mm.
That try might be the best wet weather try I've ever seen. who scored it, though? It was...
Houston.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Leroy Houston, who was involved earlier, and then Ford to Houston, back inside to Ford, to Henry Thomas, to Eastman, and then back to Houston.
Yeah, it was quality.
He crashed over the line. I thought he'd dotted it down too early because they were playing on the football pitch.
Yeah, I think
two lines on it. No, you've messed it up.
Can we talk about Sam now?
Yes, let's talk about Sam.
Right, hear me now, believe me later. If this continues, it's going to be a very unsuccessful stint in Union.
What are you referring to, Jay?
His tackling.
Oh, you as well.
I'm down with this.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because I just want to play a little bit of the commentary from Friday night. My opinion was, it's interesting to see how a rugby league convert tackles, but I don't think it's quite the story that you got from watching the game.
Oh,
here goes Ranger. Oh, dear me, that was Sam's hit.
Yeah, we just see him there on Ranger. Just got to be...
That's just a tackle.
He's enthusiastic. He's just
yeah, but
just
have you seen the way that the arm swings through?
Yeah, no.
It's really weird because, like, I didn't realise there's so much of a difference until you actually see it live.
You're just making sure he wraps his arms, isn't he?
This is the one where he kicks the ball up,
One isn't the worst one.
But the first one's not that bad.
That to me is nothing.
That's
really
just chest. He just gets in with his chest.
Yeah.
And he's trying to wrap the arms. But
the point is, I mean, I love it.
That's fine. Yeah, nothing wrong there. But again, he's lucky. He's just got to drop his height a little bit there and hit with the shoulder.
I agree with Austin there.
Yeah.
He's going too upright into the tackle.
And until you see it actually live, you don't realise what a big difference there is between the league tackling and the Union tackling, which I didn't really think there was, but there clearly is. He's going to be like the next Butch James. That's exactly how he tackles. He tackles like Butch James.
So are you thinking about this from a discipline point of view, or are you thinking about this from an injury point of view?
Injury for the other players, but discipline for him.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I thought you meant maybe from a... Because like the way Courtney Laws has said, he sort of modified the way he tackles because he was just throwing himself in.
I think if you're 6'5" or whatever he is and built like that, you can tackle however you want and you're never going to get injured. Everyone's smaller, everyone's weaker. He does what he wants. But
He'll get there.
Well, the referees are such idiots now. Sorry, am I allowed to say that?
You're not allowed to say it on our Twitter feed, please.
Right.
If you can keep your own personal negative opinions off
of our
Twitter
page.
And
then what they'll do is they'll refer everything back and it'll just be awful. So he's really got to work hard on that tackling technique because it's going to land him in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I think him and the Bath coaches will all be well aware of that after this game, and they will definitely
work on
it.
But they've started him. They've decided to start him for the next game, allegedly.
Well, we don't know that. There's rumours that he's going to start the next game. Why not go for it?
Yeah.
Why not go for it? Because we're a professional sports team.
Go for it. I don't care. I want to watch him.
Yeah.
I want to watch him.
It's a huge draw.
I don't know. He won't be a huge draw if they crash out of Europe.
Maybe crash out of Europe with or without him. They lost two games without him. So
I've got a second team. Play him in the second team just for a little while.
Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Leicester. Because
I don't think of what happened in that Leicester game.
Not many big news stories after the game or during. No. What do you make of it? What a result.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Cannot be underestimated.
Incredible result. And that is the first time that Toulon have been beaten by an English team in the top tier of Europe.
There you go.
Fact.
Thank you, Philip. Yeah, it's nice to see Dan Cole going through the gears now.
Being forced to play 80 as well.
I know.
What's wrong? Why does Cockerell... He's been playing Fraser Balmain all season.
Martin Castrogiovanni, what do you think about Richard Cockerell?
Yeah, exactly. They don't get on, do they?
Yeah, more on that in a minute. But in terms of the game...
Dan Cole scrimmaged really, really well. I did worry in the last 2 minutes when he was absolutely out on his feet. He'd been scrimming for a full 80 and they had like two back-to-back scrums and he looked like he was struggling whether it could have actually lost them the game. Bring Fraser Balmain on. He's played 10 Premiership games already this season.
Do something.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Leicester might have one of the transfers of the last few seasons in Owen Williams. He is one hell of a buy. He slotted another game winner from his own half.
Yeah.
He might actually be the best goal kicker in the entire league.
I think statistically it's Steenson at the moment, isn't
it? From range?
Maybe not.
No one's got that range.
Maybe
surely.
Not from range. He played really well. Some of his kicking out of hand was superb as well, getting in behind them and using the conditions as well, using the greasy surface.
Yeah.
You don't really fancy Freddie Burns between now and March, do you really?
I like what they've done though. They've got a wet weather fly half and a dry weather fly half.
I reckon always Williams can do both.
Yeah.
Better than Freddie Burns.
Let's talk about Castro then.
Okay.
So he's had an expletive-laden rant to... Well, it's been described as a rant. He was quite calm the way he actually delivered it. But in terms of the content of what he said, he was effing and jeffing. C-bombs were flying around, apparently.
Wowza.
and it was aimed mainly at Richard Cockerell, and he was very dismissive. It hasn't covered him in glory particularly for me. He hasn't taken defeat like a man.
Cockerell knows how to rip people up the wrong way, that is for sure.
Well, he's trying to kill him with kindness in response, because Richard Cockerell has said since, "Castro is a fantastic icon for this club and I have nothing but praise for him."
That is complete and utter nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah, is that a bit like that Brendan Venter was talking about?
Oh, yeah, what was it? Sorelli Bobo.
Sorelli Bombo, yes, excellent. In fact, let's get that, because that's the...
That's weird, though.
That's my favourite.
The humour doesn't even come across in that.
Here we go, this is when they lost to Racing Metro.
Brendan, how disappointed are you?
Yeah, disappointed, very disappointed, very disappointed.
What went wrong? Because you got off to such a wonderful start.
Yeah, it's interesting, I wonder what went wrong. I have to think about it.
Well, what did go wrong?
Oh, I have to look and think about it deeply, very deeply.
What on earth?
So he obviously has to do this post-match press conference. He doesn't want to do it because he just wants to, he's fuming about the decision, and he's just stonewalling it.
Did it hinge in the end on a bit of genius from Sorelli Bombo?
Bit of genius, bit of magic, Sorelli Bombo, very interesting, very good, yeah. Very good, 3 cheers for Sorelli Bombo, very good, very good.
What were you happy with about your side?
Oh, happy? Happy, everything, very good, very happy with my team.
But you didn't win, did you, Brendan?
Yeah, we didn't win, it's true, yeah.
Why didn't you win?
Oh, good question, that. Very good question.
So weird.
It is important to win, you must try harder.
Ooh, you feel uncomfortable just watching it.
It doesn't come across well at all, that one. And do you have any audio of...
Castro? Yeah, this is Castro.
Sure. I'll have to think about that one.
Oh, sorry. This is Castro.
I thought Leicester is amateur team, just want to say... We come here, we didn't want to win, because if you win again, they lost another game at home, you want to get sacked.
He's just,
that is a weird thing to say.
Weird thing to say after losing.
I mean,
come on,
maybe
take it like
Castro
a man.
Didn't want to win. I can't imagine all the others saying, do you know what, let's just go easy today, because a Cockerell that nobody likes might lose his job.
I think they play a game, you know, a lot of teams, everyone wants to win games against us. We are the best. We won everything, but they just won a game. They just won a game, and now they need to come home next week, and we'll see you next week, you know. Cocker is talking too much, still a lot of game playing this before he's saying that people win for the money. You just need to let, you know, he have a lot of work, can you get paid as well, and I pay my own money to let this club. I don't need the money to play rugby. I love this game. I used to love this club, and I still love this club.
Which is it, Castro?
But, you know, when people are hanging with the water here, they talk, I don't walk the walk.
Mm. So he's decided to bring out that he paid to leave Leicester, and yeah. Mm. I think we can basically say that next week is going to be tasty.
Do you reckon they'll start Castro? Because Castro, most of the season, has been second choice behind Haymans, and they obviously started him either to give Haymans a rest or because of the
Castro
old club,
going back.
Yeah, the rivalry, and it would spur him on. Do you reckon this will just say to Laporte, put him on the back burner, put him on the bench?
Laporte doesn't strike me as the kind of coach that would appreciate this.
No, probably not.
He's a bit of a disciplinarian.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a big Cocker's fan. At all, actually. He says some ridiculously stupid things, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has actually gone out of his way to upset Castro. I really wouldn't be.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just a bit justified. Bitter. He was a bit bitter.
Well,
about...
I think that sums him up. I think that sums him up nicely. He is a bit bitter.
Bitter, yeah.
He got really shirty with the media over injury crisis and suggestions that he might be at fault. Because what you've got to remember about Cockerell is he's never at fault. Mm. That man has never done anything wrong, ever. Yeah. He was even shipped out of Leicester. He was shipped out of Leicester to Cast for 2 or 3 years.
Oh, when he was playing.
Yeah, he's got some form.
Well, it's going to be spicy, that's for sure. And, I mean, physical was the word that Castro used to describe Leicester, and that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Really, really physical. They took it. I mean, and when you got guys like carved out of granite like Brad Thorne on the pitch.
Yeah.
Try scoring as well.
Yeah.
But having Dan Cole and Tom Young's back, I think really did make a difference, not only in the scrum, but like... the work rate of Tom Young's around the park and the metres that he makes as well.
Yeah.
He's like an extra ball carrier, which is really useful.
We'll get on to looking ahead to the rematch next weekend a little bit later. But since we're talking about spicy moments, let's just talk about this.
It's bubbling over.
What is this?
O'Connell is right in the middle. Cudmore is unloading and it's all kicking off. Cudmore and O'Connell... It's getting pretty ugly now.
Ugly. I don't think that's the word I used to do. It's getting awesome. It's getting awesome.
It warms your heart.
Any talk of Cudmore unloading and Phil goes weak at the knees.
Now, I can't possibly imagine that my wonderful Jamie Cudmore did anything wrong in this.
Well, he got a red. He earned a red card for his part in that.
Miserable man is sitting there in World Rugby with his anorak on saying, this isn't fun to watch, make sure they get banned. You know, who are these people? That was spectacular to watch. That's what everyone wants to see.
It's quite entertaining, wasn't it?
Yeah. Anyone who says that that's not entertaining because mothers don't like it is an idiot and should not be in charge of our game.
Well, it is the sort of fight that would have just gone, get back. Right, one of you's getting a penalty against you, Cudmore, and then reversed against you, O'Connell. Get back and I don't want any more
exactly.
of it again. That would have been the way. I do understand... You can't have repeated swinging fists, and there was, but I wouldn't have given Cudmore a red card.
There's a lot of questions that need to be answered about this. First and foremost, why hasn't the referee pulled them both to the side and made them shake hands? Shake hands, boys, walk away.
Red card for Cudmore. Yellow card for O'Connell, and they're still going at each other.
Oh, Phil just heard they're going at each other again. That made him really excited again. I love the spectacle of it, albeit it's foul play and everything. And I don't want to condone violence, but I enjoy the spectacle.
Yes, you do want to condone violence. Get off your fence.
It is exciting. It is exciting. But Jimmy Cudmore could have cost his team a victory there.
Yeah.
Because they should either both be yellowed or both be red.
17, 16 minutes in.
Having reviewed the game tape, Jimmy Cudmore did throw at least three punches before O'Connell retaliated. O'Connell did retaliate.
He might have got his retaliation in first. You don't know.
Well, maybe.
Unbelievable levels of physicality in that
match. What's the point in having two heroes, two mutants on a field like Cudmore and O'Connell if you're not going to let them have a dust up once in a while?
It's gladiatorial, isn't it?
It's like having a Ferrari and never driving it fast.
Well, just before we get into the actual game side of things, if you had to pick another matchup in rugby, Cudmore v O'Connell, that would be epic. Because even though Cudmore is bigger and he's got background as a brawler, O'Connell's never say die kind of mentality would mean he'd be like Rocky. He'd get punched by Dolph Lundgren a million times and he'd still get up.
O'Connell probably has like the cardio on him as well. And if you look at that game tape, I mean, it looks like there's some sort of tie clinch going on to start with. And then after the first few shots have been thrown by Cudmore, O'Connell beautifully changes levels. Takedown.
Listen to the jiu-jitsu
into side control and almost like a cradle hold, and starts throwing some fists. It's wonderful. It's really good technique. I would like to see. I've been on record saying this before, and I'll say it again. I would love to have seen back in the day, in their primes, Grewcock versus Botha. In South Africa.
Wow.
That's the one I want. That's the one I wanted.
We not fancy throwing Shabal in there as well.
Oh, I'd love to see Shabal. Yeah, Royal Rumble with Shabal in there as well. Shabal should actually become a WWE wrestler.
Yeah.
He's got the charisma to do it.
He's got the character, yeah.
Yeah.
Would he be a bad guy? Yeah, he'd be a heel. Yeah, he'd be some cheese-eating, Euro-trash heel who hates America. Your cheese is awful.
Hey, Seabass, could you do this interview in English?
No.
That would be his thing. I think this is how they should actually decide England's third choice fly half, Milo v. Sips.
That'd be a terrible fight. Yeah, no one wants to see that.
An undercard fight, that might be quite entertaining.
An undercard. You know, Sippers would... A
couple of bantamweights.
Sipper would smash a bottle of baby sham or something on the side of a bar and come at him with that.
The Henson v. Sippers would be the not my face bout.
Henson's got a bit of form of getting kicked out of nightclubs and stuff. That might be alright.
Yeah.
Mike Phillips loves to get in a brawl. That's just a fact.
An old...
Mike Phillips versus Ollie Barkley. They love getting into brawls.
Yeah, they do.
An old school. I'll throw in maybe with your Grewcock, Shabal, Botha. An old school name, Wayne Shelford from the New Zealand team of the late 80s. Possibly, when you watch old matches, he looks like one of the hardest men to ever play the game.
Who's a Scottish fella who I thought was really hard? Like, blonde hair.
Doddy Weir? No.
Not him. Chris Patterson. That's the one.
Really?
No. No, of course. Chris Patterson at all.
Right, any more suggestions then? Let's look like rugby deathmatch. Who would you like to see fighting each other? Because Cudmore and O'Connell went at it, hammer and tongs.
And then we can replicate it using Play-Doh like the old celebrity deathmatch that was on MTV.
Yes, we could do that.
I'd quite like to see Mike Ford get promoted to the England setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have Andy Farrell versus Mike Ford fighting
Dad
out for whose son gets the start in 10 versus
that's a
England.
Great. Oh, that's awesome. I
think Farrell would definitely have the measure of him.
I think so.
Wouldn't be a fair fight. But.
At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, have a little look, have a little suggestion. In terms of the game, brutal as it was, that was. I think that's probably the word that described a lot of the rugby I saw. Just brutal.
Yeah, yeah. The conditions are dictating the quality of the play in a lot of it. And that was so physical. Even without Cudmore, the Claremont pack was still phenomenal, wasn't it?
Mm.
And that is the first time a French team has ever won, ever beaten Munster in Limerick.
Wow.
Fact.
Another Ooh. Brilliant fact for
weekend of firsts.
Wow. Yeah. First for European rugby.
Indeed.
The other game in that tie, Saris v Sale Sharks, and Owen Farrell looked in decent form.
Charlie Hodgson looked in better form.
He did look in better form. He did look in excellent form.
How often do I have to say this to
Sir Charlie?
How often do I need to repeat myself? Owen Farrell isn't even the best 10 in Saracens, let alone England. And yet, you all ignore me. Hear me now, believe me later. I say so many things and you ignore me on so many of them.
Based on that game, I think Charlie Hodgson did play a little bit better than Owen Farrell.
Agreed.
Owen Farrell's still getting back to form at the moment, though.
Yeah.
And he was playing out of
yes,
position.
Yes, yes. Form is temporary, class is permanent, Phil.
We've got loads and loads to talk about. If I can briefly just divert us. Have you seen the Canterbury Fan Cam thing that I did?
I've not actually had a chance to watch it yet. I saw it go on today.
Yeah, so basically, for the England-Australia game, just have a look at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Go and have a little look, because I went with, basically just got handed a GoPro camera and a couple of England shirts and a couple of tickets for the game, and kind of went with an old school friend of mine, and we went to Twickenham. And I just thought, bearing in mind that we've had in the past featured Rugby Oki, where we noticed that rugby players love to sing. They can't help themselves. Any chance, whether it's an initiation, whether it's on telly, whether it's, you know, Matt Stevens going on a reality TV show.
I could stay away just to hear you breathing.
Right, so this is the moment. So the whole fan cam video is up there. So it's just basically me with a GoPro camera at Twickenham. But there's just this one moment where, I'll admit, I'd had a few. And the band was playing outside the stadium, and I badly hit a falsetto note doing Swing Low. Here it comes in a second.
Nice. That was beautiful, Tim.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Quite wonderful. Quite wonderful.
And there's a bit where I get, in jumping up and celebrating an England score, I get a massive elbow to the cheek as well. So, go and have a look at Rugby Podcast. I'll bob it on Twitter. It's just gone up. And thanks to Canterbury for having us as well.
We love Canterbury.
We do love Canterbury. Mm. They make great kits.
The best kit. The best kit. Mm. For the record, can I just say, my brand new Canterbury, I can't remember what they call them, Pro Speed or Pro Club? My new
so you
boots.
Even go and see your loyalty. You even go and buy your new boots at Canterbury
I
Boots.
I even go and buy Canterbury boots. I have got a luminous yellow. I want to say Club, no, Pro something Speed or whatever. I'm very fast in them. I'm 20% faster than in normal boots.
Because you're always conflicted whether to buy forwards boots or backs boots.
Exactly.
Which
Phil.
Did you go for?
I went with backs boots.
Did you?
Six studs.
It's nice six studs in wet. In wet witness, I had to change them like 10 minutes in. But it's not the boot's fault, it was my fault. I chose the wrong boots for that day.
All right, at Rugby Podcast, I'll bob a little link to that Canterbury video, or you can just search for Canterbury on Facebook or whatever. Something else, Phil, you wanted to talk about, before we get into it, we'll do the quiz in just a minute, but
yeah.
Should we talk about this Austin Healey article? Because I've not read it, but you've just mentioned that you wanted to bring it up.
Ah, from the author of 5.8 World Cups.
Yes. If you haven't heard that one from an earlier podcast, Austin Healey's maths went a little bit awry when he was talking about the relative chances of teams at next year's World Cup, and his percentage chances added up to 560%.
508 World Cups is what he...
580%.
It's an innovative way, an innovative way to dish out World Cups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, only having one is boring, right?
It is.
5.8, that's a magical number.
So, what's he been up to now? We've got a lot of time for Austin Healey. He's a great pundit.
Yeah, and
he is. He's very funny.
I think some very radical solutions to England winning the World Cup next year. I think some of them might be good. Some of them I'm not so sure about at the moment. So we're going to review them, see what we think.
Okay.
So his first one, Stefan Armitage at number 7.
Excellent selection. Does he move Rob Shaw across to 6?
No.
Oh, wow.
Ouch. Awkward.
Far more Jack than Rob Shaw. No, not moving Rob Shaw across to 6.
So Healy would have Armitage in at 7. Okay. Well, it's not going to happen, but fair enough.
So the next one, Luke Cowan-Dickie, start at hooker. Now this...
Really? What's his justification there?
Ball carrier, I believe.
Is he just going for a rise on this one? Do you think he actually believes that?
I think... This has to be him going for a rise. I think it's deliberately inflammatory, because partly his set piece work, well, it was statistically the best in the autumn internationals. Mm-hmm. He had the highest line-out success in the autumn internationals. His scrimmage is solid. His work around the park is all good.
And Jack Yendall is the main hooker for Exeter.
He has been, because Luke Cowan-Dickie has been injured for a lot of the season. He's only played a couple of games this season. So maybe in 5 years' time in the World Cup, Luke Cowan-Dickie will be seriously challenging. I think now, no.
I understand his reasoning, because what he said is he's a good ball carrier, and you'll take some of the pressure off Morgan and Vunipola. And we've said this ourselves. Yep. England need more carriers.
And lacking ball carrier.
But one of you, it's not as if Hartley isn't a good ball carrier. Well,
I'll go back to the very first name that I mentioned on tonight's podcast. If you want an extra ball carrier, Jamie, and want to make a brave decision, potentially, come World Cup time, Henry Thomas, if he can scrummage as well as the others, be a really bold selection. But I think bold, but maybe more realistic than Luke Cowan-Dickie at hooker.
I'd go with that as well. Next one, Henry Slade. Inside centre.
This is interesting.
Now, this is interesting. I think Henry Slade is playing really, really well. I think he oozes class.
And a supreme talent.
And inside centre, I think he could do a very good job there. But if he's playing 13 at club level, I think it'd be a huge ask and way too difficult.
Yeah, and are we in danger of doing the old Matthew Tate thing? Oh, he's had 6 good months and he's a good youngster. Let's chuck him in. Oh, he gets smashed and never really does
Matthew
it again.
Matthew Tate was never that good, though.
No, he was equivalent as good as Henry Slade is.
No.
Yeah, he was.
No, not having that. Not having that even slight. First of all, Gavin Henson ruined his life. I mean, that
well,
that
but this
happened,
is this right? is my point. He wasn't ready for international rugby.
No,
he was, he was a promising youngster.
And he was like the darling of English rugby all the way up to the World Cup, where he even played in the final. But even then, he's been moved around. I don't think he's ever fulfilled his promise.
Well, no, he hasn't. He hasn't. But this is what I'm basically saying. I think Austin Healy might just be going for a rise with a couple of these. So I don't think he thinks Henry Slade starting at 12 in the World Cup for England.
I think Slade would definitely have it in his repertoire. I think... He could absolutely do it, but I think the upcoming World Cup again would be a bit too
soon.
Maybe
a squad player. Anyway, what's the other one?
So two more. Sam Burgess on the wing.
What on earth? What kind of breakdown?
He does say centre or wing, but
mind you, what's his name started on the wing? Sonny Bill Genius.
He played a few games in the World Cup. He did play a few games
Different
in the 2011 World Cup on the wing. It was more because of injury cover. Now, I actually think the wing thing isn't actually that ridiculous, purely because... So Sam Burgess is trying to learn the game. For him to get involved at the moment, I think it would actually be quite good to have him on the wing for a couple of games. Now...
Yeah, you played wing.
The reason I say this is because in the period from December through to February, when it's very cold, the pitches are heavy, no one gets burnt on the outside. You only get burnt on the outside when it's warmer and the pitch are a lot firmer. You get a lot more freedom playing wing during that period because you can come off your wing. The width of the pitch is far less important. So he could actually come off and pop up anywhere he wants, and he can get involved in the physical stuff. He can get involved in the tackling, the defending, the rucking. He can be involved in absolutely everything. So I think as a short-term learning thing, at Bath's level, it would be quite interesting for him to actually do it.
Well, I've never played wing myself, obviously, but I do remember in the Newbury team that I played in when Ben Ryan was the coach, but he used to put massive emphasis on the wings being the decision maker because they can see when there's space. So it was a massive emphasis on the wingers calling rather than the 10 spotting and the overlap. The wings are the ones that are there. They go, there's an overlap, let's go.
They're responsible for the width of your team. Think of the character of Sam Burgess, and everything we've heard about him so far is about being his work rate, his high carry volume. He said he's finding 12 a little boring. I think I might misquote him there.
No, he did say that.
But having him flying off his wing at every opportunity and a certain, you know, rush of blood to the head, I don't think it's a good move.
No, I think in conditions like we saw on Friday, he would get more freedom playing on the wing because Montpellier never once spread it wide. Defensively, he would never have had to do anything, but he would have had that freedom to pop up anywhere he wants and get involved in everything.
So
very limited.
The big loser with all this might actually end up being Kyle Eastman, but we can talk about that later.
What's Ozzy's final?
His final one,
radical selection,
which we just spoke about, is Christian Wade.
On the wings
for England. Which
kickfest?
We've talked about it. He's very, very good attacking, but defensively not right at the moment.
So I think basically Austin Healey's point is we're probably not going to win as things are, so let's just roll the dice. Do you think that's basically the short answer of what he's saying?
I think Austin Healey is basically doing what I've said on this podcast that you should do to win a World Cup and looking for some players with an X factor. I think that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, you tell me the last team that won the World Cup that relied on players with X factor.
New Zealand.
Really?
Loads of X factor.
Really? What beating France by a point with three penalties? And South Africa muscling their way past England. And England pragmatically muscling their way through Australia with
England
one.
England were one of the best teams of a generation.
Yeah, no, I agree. They were great. But it wasn't through players with X factor. It was through a metronomic 10 who and everyone doing their job slightly better than the opposition.
And a big pack to secure your ball.
And Jason Robinson, who was pretty special at the time.
All right.
The Quade Cooper factor. You can actually win the Super Rugby tournament just by having Quade Cooper. It happens.
It's got us talking, which I think might have been the intention of Austin Healey's
article.
Exactly. So, I think that
can we talk about one other article which has come out this week?
Okay.
Will Greenwood's article.
To Sam Burgess.
Yeah, now everyone knows I'm a huge Will Greenwood fan, but this article was ridiculous. He's basically written an open letter. Well, say basically, he has written an open letter.
To somebody.
Yeah. I don't know what his intentions were, but it's pretty patronising.
Yeah, it's very, very patronising.
It reads like a basic, like, rugby union for dummies kind of thing.
Rugby union for three-year-olds.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It starts with, "Hi Sam, my name's Will. You may not have heard of me, or you probably don't know who I am. Yes, he knows who you are. You've won a World Cup."
Yeah.
You play sport.
I used to play a bit of rugby back in my day.
That's a bit self-deprecating. Not quite like that.
Have a read of it.
Yeah.
Have a read of it. It won't take you long. It's a very nice word.
That'd be awesome. If Will Greenwood wants to go and spend a day a week with Sam Burgess, that'd be amazing.
That would actually be...
For Queen and Country, go on then, Will.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah, not many people know Inside Centre better than Will Greenwood.
We'll get back to some of the rugby in a minute. Not least, you all want to talk about Ulster, I'm sure, Phil.
Absolutely.
And a good win against Scarlets. But should we have the first part of a quiz?
Oh, yes,
well,
please.
This week's quiz is just one part.
Oh, okay.
What?
Well, let's do the quiz then.
Just the quiz.
Let's do the quiz.
Have you got pen and paper?
You've got quiz music.
Pen, paper, music. Get yourself pen and paper. Again, apologies that there's no cake to go with this after the the tiffin and after, what was it before that? The
Stollen.
Stollen.
Unbelievable.
Wonderful Stollen.
Wonderful Stollen. Barbican in South Manchester. Mm. If you live in South Manchester, you'll know it well. They do an incredible cheesecake.
New York deli
cheesecake, which is sat in my fridge.
Oh, what a shame, Tim. You're going to have to go home and eat three slices of cheesecake.
It's a hard laugh. I may well have already had half of
one. Very, very, very fine breads.
Yeah, very good breads.
Yeah.
So what is this then, Phil?
So, quiz, six questions straight up, six answers.
Right, okay.
Wow. First question.
Yeah.
What position did Steve Hansen play?
Steve?
New Zealand coach Steve Hansen.
Oh, God, I don't know to look at him. Okay, fine. Next question.
Question two. What club does Kieran Marmion play for?
Who?
Kieran Marmion.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him. He's a current international player.
Kieran?
Marmion. That's Marmion.
Is he French?
Can't say anything.
Do you know Kieran Marmion?
I'm not.
Do you know Kieran Marmion?
Not particularly familiar with his work, but that's not the point.
Neither am I.
Okay.
Hang on. Here, come.
Okay, question number three.
Yeah.
Which company is the official timekeeper of the Aviva Premiership?
Aha, I know this one.
Jay Lex's watches.
Uh, Is Casio a good type of watch?
Can I just say?
Very good, Tim.
You're wearing one.
I am wearing a Casio.
Okay.
It does pop up in the games. It pops in the corner.
I won't give you a clue.
Don't give me a clue. No. You haven't won a quiz before. I'm 7-0 up. Don't give me a clue.
Okay, question 4. What's the name of Johnny Wilkinson's clothing company?
Ah! No!
Oh, God. These are tough today.
Oh, no. I was thinking this is one of the easier ones.
Okay, go on next.
Question 5.
Yeah.
Who was the top point scorer in the European Rugby Champions Cup this weekend?
Oh, my word.
That's 5, and there's one more.
Yeah.
Go on.
Last question. What's the name of London Welsh's director of rugby?
Soon to be ex-director of rugby.
The current, yeah. Current as of
now.
8 p.m. on Monday evening.
Oh, dear. All right.
Okay, answers in.
Okay. Oh, that clothing range.
You'll kick yourself. You know it as well.
I know, and I
know you know it.
Right. We've got them written down so you can verify we're not going to cheat.
Yeah.
Question 1. What was that? Kieran Marmion?
No, question 1 was Steve Hansen. What position did he play?
I just figured you might make it harder than the obvious one because he looks like a bit of a rotund fella, but I was going to guess 12. He was like in the Scott Gibbs mould. He was
Blanker.
A 12.
One of you got it correct. He does look very rotund now. And he was a centre.
Oh,
he was a 12.
Wow!
Yeah,
did not
that
know
was
that.
A total guess.
He does not look like a centre. So 1 point for Tim Cocker.
Thank you.
Kieran Marmion.
I said Ulster. Sounds like it's either French or Irish.
Marmion?
Kieran.
Oh, yeah, maybe. That's a Clermont.
Clermont. I can tell you he was born and raised in Lancashire, but Irish family. Currently plays for Connacht.
Oh,
and he's a current Irish international.
Never heard of him.
He played in the
that's pretty shameful. I don't know his name. Next one then.
Actually,
I've got one and I cross one out.
Ooh.
I think it's Tissot.
And Tim, what do you think?
Citizen.
I can again tell you that one of you is correct. And again, it's Tim Cocker.
What?
It is Citizen.
Oh, no. Tissot did it for Rugby League.
Do they
because one of the match gets a Tissot watch.
I just suddenly I was trying to visualise what the scoreboard looked like at the AJ Bell for the times I was doing the matches.
It does. It pops.
Depressing.
Yeah.
The away team normally got a lot of points.
So 2-0 already.
Oh,
Johnny Wilkinson's clothing range.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I put J10.
No. It's fine side clothing.
And you're saying like East Point or something.
So you need to get both of these right.
And Tim get nothing. So top point scorer this weekend.
I'm going with George Ford.
I said Stephen Myler because Northampton scored loads of points.
Yeah,
Stephen Myler only got a few conversions. George Ford got 16 points, but he was second to Owen Williams.
Oh my
who
God!
20 points.
Okay, and so you can't win.
I've already won,
but should we go through the process anyway?
The final one, who was the London Welsh director of rugby?
Justin Burnell.
Justin Burnell. And Jay?
Justin Burnell.
Jay has got Justin Burnell. So he finishes 3-1 to Tim Cocker.
8-0!
I think it's 8-1.
8-1, yes, you're right.
You did draw.
We drew one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow! For anyone that wants to know what it's like to be London Welsh at the moment, how do you feel, Jay?
I feel like I've just travelled up from Gloucester for a captain's run on Sunday before getting absolutely pounded by an opposition pack. So that's how I feel.
Should we change it up next week?
No.
I think, huh?
No.
Well, I was going to say, do you want to take on a different opponent?
No.
Do you want to take on Phil?
I can't believe...
Are you going to... You won't let go until you've beaten me. All right, how about we'll change who plays who?
No.
When JB wins.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
All right.
I like that.
All right. Maybe we could have it like World Series. We could have, like, you know, best of 3 over 3 weeks something.
And where are things going now? I need best of 15, do I? To win? To do this round?
Good one, Phil.
Yeah, great, Phil.
That was really good.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Jay.
Back to the rugger. What other games are there we haven't mentioned?
So Ulster.
Oh, yes, Ulster.
Obviously. Now, Ulster, It was a really good game, actually. If either of you watched it,
I caught a bit of some highlights.
Yeah, I noticed that the wizard was back.
Oh yeah, Ruan.
Wow,
he looked good.
Ulster got the 5 points, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, they didn't score that many points.
They scored 22 points, of which 20 were the 4 times 5.
Yeah, they had to do that as well, didn't they? Really?
Yeah, they really did. I mean, it put some again potentially back in contention, but
Scotland is such a weak team as well.
Scotland's played some good rugby. They were trying to play rugby.
Isn't that kind of their cliche? Like they try and play rugby, and they're not particularly good. They've got a load of young lads, I guess. But
yeah, we got some stick, by the way, last week for not putting Tommy Bowe in our team of the Autumn International.
You deserve that.
God. And he was so good.
He was incredible.
He's a monster.
His finish and his break and then little looped pass over the top for Darren Cave's try.
Darren Cave, he's a hell of a player.
Yeah, Darren Cave.
I realised how good he was until I watched the game on the weekend.
I read a team of the round earlier today that got sent to us by Derry Gassman, actually, one of our listener Ulster fans. And there's 4 Ulster players in it.
Rory Best. Yeah, he was good.
Ruan Pienaar. Darren Cave. And Tommy Bowe. And they were all...
Bowe's finish was... I love the way he just powered through the last defender.
Liam Williams.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, absolutely powered over the top of him.
Yeah, he's a... How did you come to Johnny May being better than Tommy Bowe?
I said it was the try.
Yeah, we kind of got carried away with that one try, maybe.
I know you did.
It was
a
nod to the try of the Autumn Internationals. Mm. But yeah, Tommy Bowe was superb. And Ruan Pienaar. But there's just more injuries as well, because there's Van der Merwe and Aldin, concussion protocol. Mm. There's a couple more as well. There's like 4 Ulster players. They're already having a really bad season with injuries, but 4 more who are potential doubts for the return visit to Scarlets this coming weekend.
They should have enough, though.
You'd hope so, yeah. Particularly if Ruan Pienaar is pulling the strings.
Now, let's talk about possibly the most powerful back row outside of Bath in Wasps.
Yes.
They looked mighty impressive.
Yeah, against Cast. Mm-hmm. A Cast who are currently sitting bottom.
Yeah,
of
their powers are waning somewhat.
There was 6 games involving English teams, and there were 6 victories for English teams.
Fact.
You would have got some good odds on that.
Yes. Yeah, you would have, wouldn't you?
Now, there was... you might know 7 English teams playing, but Sale were playing Saracens, so only one of them could possibly win.
Oh, I see.
So, but it was 6 from 6 English.
That would have been a good accumulator, that.
Every English game, an English team won. Brilliant.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. So really, really good performance. And probably the English game that we haven't mentioned yet, Harlequins against Leinster, was a superb performance.
Yeah. Mm.
The scrummaging as well. Joe Marler destroyed Mike Ross.
I do love Joe Marler.
Yeah. I read an article in an interview with Nick Easter today that said last Sunday when Marler and Brown and Yard all got back from the England camp, they had a social, first social they've had in a while, and they got all the lads together, had some food and a few beers, went out in London, and integrated them back into the group. And he attributed the team spirit and the victory to doing that last Sunday.
Wow.
That's a great shout.
Yeah. It's just really nice to kind of see that they are still doing stuff like that and see that kind of thing does happen.
Saracens are notorious for it.
Yeah.
Well, they do drop the players off in a foreign country and give them 100 quid to get back. I mean, they do all sorts of things. They get chaperoned around the beer fest, then bust back onto the plane.
Yeah, you've got 24 hours, enjoy it.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be hell.
But another result that cannot be underestimated. That was something else.
Yeah, really, really good, really good result. And it means that that Harlequins are one of only 2 teams who are undefeated at the moment.
Crikey.
Do you know who the other undefeated team are?
In Europe.
In the top tier.
Toulouse undefeated.
Racing Metro? Or is it Toulouse?
Racing Metro drew.
Yeah, they drew.
Yeah, sorry, I meant undefeated. They are undefeated, but all wins is what I did mean.
Yeah, and they've got Harun Odiki playing at 7. He just looks right in that Toulouse game.
Toulouse, yeah.
Such a classy player.
It's easy to start talking about next week's games. It's just the return fixtures, and as we've already started talking about, there's some spicy moments that are going to be served up. Some revenge is being sought. It's going to be interesting. Again on Friday night, it's Bath Montpellier, this time at the Rec. And as you said, Sam Burgess starting is what we're hearing.
Is nice. Very nice.
It's going to be interesting, isn't it?
I mean, I think it's completely stupid, but nice.
Your tune from a man who was almost thinking about swapping his man crush from Jacques Berger to...
No, I've been pretty consistent on this. I don't...
Pretty consistent about wanting to go on a fishing trip, camping, in a two-man tent with Sam Burgess.
I've been very, very consistent on this, which is I don't think they're doing it quite the right way. And the big loser will be Kyle Eastman, because if he's taking up the 12th spot, which is Kyle Eastman's spot, we had a little chat today about how Kyle Eastman will be fine because he's a utility back. It's career suicide. You need to be a specialist. So
see James Hook, Kevin Henson.
Exactly.
Austin Healy.
Bath should put Montpellier away again, shouldn't they?
You'd expect so.
And they have to get 5 points, and even then it might not even be enough.
I hope the Rec is dry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
nice, crisp, dry winter night. But yes,
Montpellier haven't won a game, and they will do what all French teams do when they're out of Europe. They will just switch off. Yeah, and it will be.
And they've got to go to the best sports ground in the world.
So yeah, Bath victory.
Yeah, to pick up on your point, Toby Booth told Points West, the local BBC show in the Southwest. I remember it well when I used to live in Bath. We think it's a good opportunity for Sam Burgess to start. We want to rotate some of our players who've had a lot of game time, and it will be interesting to see how he gets on for a longer period. We want to blood him in and get him used to the game.
I'm going to say it now. I bet he gets a yellow card.
Put some money on it.
I nearly tweeted that.
Put some money on it.
Yeah.
Go on.
I think you can do that.
I will do.
If you're sat here with money in your pocket, you can say, well, you've beat me 8 times in the quiz, Tim, but I'm buying the cakes.
The cakes.
Sarri's sale. That should be Sarri's at the Allianz Park. Sale have been doing well, to be fair. Interesting, Brian Redpath was on the other rugby programme that I make. And for
the one I'm not allowed on.
At the BBC, the one you're not allowed on. And he sounds like a man who's going to be on his way come the end of the season.
I think this has been on the cards for a long time.
I think he'll go. But he basically said when the question of Cipriani came up, he went, well, Cipriani's been playing well, which has put him on the radar of a lot of clubs. You just got the impression he was basically saying, yeah, he's going. I think Sarri's will win that one at home.
That group, by the way, is very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
You've got Clermont on 10 points, then Saracens and Munster both on 9 points.
Yeah.
So it looks like the way it's stacking up, looks like you'll get two from that group, but which two it will be.
One of Clermont, Munster and Sarri's are going out. That was a fact before the group even started. But Leinster v Quins, Leinster at home should reverse that result, you'd think?
You'd think so, yeah, but it was a hell of a performance by Quins, and they will definitely think they can repeat that. But my money would be on Leinster.
That is the evening kickoff, by the way, Leinster Harlequins on Saturday. Afternoon kickoff 3:15 and Sarri's is 5:15, but 3:15 Toulon Leinster. This is gonna be you can imagine the fireworks in the first few minutes.
Yeah.
It's gonna be monstrous hits going in.
Yeah, God.
That's gonna be a big game. I don't know if it's gonna be as big as Munster Clermont, because there's some bad blood there now.
There's bad blood in both of them.
Yeah.
Two really, really good games to look forward to, aren't they?
I'm just going to predict every single match, and I might do this as an accumulator. Every game is a home win.
Bath beat Montpellier, Saracens beat Sale, Leinster beat Harlequins, Toulon beat Leicester, Glasgow versus Toulouse. Ooh.
Yeah, that's the only one that might throw it up.
I think
Northampton are at home to Treviso, Racing Metro are at home to Ospreys, Clermont are at home to Munster, Wasps are at home to Cast, and Scarlets are at home to Ulster.
Yeah, Ulster will win.
Ulster will probably win that one, actually. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
So do all home apart from Ulster and Toulouse.
Slave to the favourites.
Yeah.
There's one more thing I did want to talk about, and that is. There we go. Is this the music I think it is? It's got a Christmassy vibe, yeah. This might be a totally stupid idea, and I noticed when I suggested it on WhatsApp, didn't get a reply.
What is this?
Right, if you were to do the 12 Days of Christmas song, I'm not saying we'll perform the song, but we know there's lots of rugby players that love to sing, as we've already established.
There is a rugby version of this, and it's not suitable for a family-orientated podcast such as ours.
Really?
The 12 Days of Rugby?
12 Days of Rugby. Have you ever heard of the 12 Days of Rugby, Phil?
There's a different one that we got.
Oh, no, there is one. In fact, I think we sang it last night on our little Christmas deal. Very, very briefly.
I don't know.
You've never heard the 12 Days of Rugby?
No, go on.
I'm not...
Hold on a minute. I just need to interrupt. Rousey, you all right?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, we're just recording the podcast, mate. I've got you. You're live on the podcast. You all right?
Yeah.
Say hello.
Who's that to?
How far off fitness are you?
2 weeks, I think.
Oh, good.
Oh,
anyway,
wow.
There you go. A little exclusive for you on the Egg Chasers podcast. Nick Rouse, London Irish.
Oh, superstar Nick Rouse.
Be stitched up.
Who's he out with?
What are you doing? Who's there? Jeb Sinclair?
Is Jeb there?
I'm just on my own.
You're on your own? No, you're not. Jeb's there.
No, I'm on my own. I'm just
Oh, my phone's gone dead.
Get exclusive.
World
then.
Exclusive, and you've not got your phone charged, Tim.
Oh, it's just gone dead. Hold on.
Yo.
Sorry, my phone went dead.
Ah, sorry.
You were just saying you're doing what? Phil and Jay here, by the way.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hi. Yeah, I...
You sound tired.
Yeah, I'm pretty knackered. Busy day.
Hard day training?
Yeah. I have been, actually. Loads of rehab. We have to train probably harder than the rest, if I'm honest.
How is the knee? It is your knee
shoulder.
Is injured. Shoulder. Oh, shoulder is it?
Shoulder.
And how is it?
Yeah, it's good. I should be back in a few weeks. So
good news. So what were you calling for?
Christmas presents.
Can I have an AeroPress coffee maker, please, Nick?
Yes. No worries.
Thanks.
All right.
Take
cheers.
It easy,
later. Guys.
Bye. So where were we? 12 Days of Christmas. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yes.
Yeah, there is actually a rugby version of it. I'm not going to say it on the podcast.
Can you like say roughly what the lyrics are without being rude?
No, I can't, because every one of them is very rude.
But you can describe it in a different way. You can use euphemisms.
Okay, yeah. So five is No, I can't. I can't even think of anything funny.
All right, hold on. We're going to go quiet for a second. Jay's going to tell us what five is. Oral.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, tell me another one. And a
Red MG.
And a
pleasuring from another person in a sports car of British origin.
Anyway, my point was, and I wondered if we could make this our mission to assemble before Christmas another one, but maybe that features things about rugby or rugby players that you would want to be represented in a 2014 song, the 12 days,
yes.
The 12 rugby days of Christmas.
Like five Stuart Oldings.
Nice. Yeah. Very good.
Oldings, I like that. Or old school fans might go five Mark Rings, the Welsh centre.
Very good.
So yeah. There you go. There's one for starters. So get thinking and get in touch at Rugby Podcast. We will start properly next week. Just giving you a little heads up about what's coming. We're going to make a 12 Days of Rugby song, and that's how we're going to honour Christmas on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. And we want your help.
Perfect.
Instead of milking, it could be rucking.
Okay.
Dan braids a rucking.
Oh,
or,
nice.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
I like that.
So there we go. We'll try and make one. We'll see if we can, but we need your help to do that. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. That's also where you can have a look at that little fan cam video that the wonderful Canterbury team did. And that's also where you can hear, well, usually, and if there's ever spelling mistakes and overt negativity, particularly aimed at officials, then that's JB. If it's statistically based, it's Phil.
Normally, yeah.
And if it's sat on the fence, it's me.
With some caps locks. Yes.
Caps locks, oh, caps locks. I do love my caps locks for emphasis. Hell yeah.
There's a weird word that you emphasise.
Which is you can't italic. You can't italic on Twitter.
You want to italic?
I like to express myself
in
my words.
I've never ever complained that I can't italic on any device.
Right, we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
See you later, JB. Sorry.
Goodbye, Tim.
In a bit. Oh, should we do a rugby okey to sing us out? Who do you want?
Do you know what I want? I want the Benji Marshall. I've not heard that for ages.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And I know it's not Benji Marshall.
Sammy Tide with Benji Marshall. He's gone back to rugby league again, didn't he? He had a very short stint. There you go. He plays the same position as Sam Burgess did. He went to Auckland Blues and he's gone back to rugby league before he bedded himself in. But here they are doing Craig David.
Benji Marshall, Sam Friday on the Footy Show live. Big cheer, guys.
See you next time.
Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday.
We were making love by Wednesday, and on Thursday and Friday and Saturday we chilled on Sunday. Monday, I took her for a drink on Tuesday. We be making love by Wednesday, and on Thursday and Friday and Saturday we chilled on Sunday. One, two, three into the four. Benji and Sammy T knocking at your door, ready to make an entrance, so back on up, cause you know we about to rip it up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Benji and Sammy together, now you know you in trouble. Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday. We be making love by Wednesday, and on Thursday and Friday and Saturday we chilled on Sunday. Yeah.